Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I am Corey.
And we are in 1 Peter chapter 4, talking about this idea of suffering as a Christian. Today, we are in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, that says this, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name."
Okay, so we've looked at a couple of these imperatives already. We're going to look at three more of them in verses 15 and 16. The first of which is make sure you don't suffer as a murderer, thief, evildoer, meddler. So in verse 16, he's going to say instead to suffer as a Christian. Mm-hmm. Don't suffer at the hands of God for doing something bad. Suffer, if you're going to have to suffer, make sure you're suffering for doing the right thing. Suffering as a sinner is one thing, because if we do, we're getting what we deserved. And he talked about that back in chapter 2 and verse 17. But this list is interesting. Mm-hmm. When he talks about suffering as someone who is doing wrong, it's probably not the list that we would think of, because everything on this list from murderer to being a busybody is on here. And we don't think of it that way. We don't think of murder and busybody being on the same list, mm-hmm. but God does.
Yeah. He mentions, when he gives these list of four words, you have a murderer that's, obviously that's like the, a big sin, what we would categorize as a big sin. You're taking somebody's life. A thief is someone who's just taken someone else's possessions. An evildoer is literally, the word just means someone who does evil. So it's very literally translated there, an evildoer, or a meddler, a busybody. And it's kind of one of those that if we're looking at it, we're going, okay, but surely that's not as bad as murdering somebody,
No, but all of these have to do with, I think, like things that would happen if we're suffering, Like murderer, you might strike back at those who are causing you to suffer. A thief, because you don't have the proper, the card or the mark or whatever it was to go to the marketplace and buy groceries, so you're starving to death. So you justify being a thief so I can feed my family. You mentioned it's kind of a generic word on the evildoer, but, Peter's defined evil as doing anything against what God says. So, lashing back out or speaking evil against them or whatever. And then the troublesome meddler, it's interesting, that shares the same root as the word overseer. Somebody trying to run somebody's life without being asked is kind of the idea here. So it seems like a big leap from a murderer, but God puts them all in the same bucket, because you're trying to maybe run, tell other people how they ought to suffer, but you're not doing it yourself. If you're those things, you might suffer at the hands of government, but you're certainly going to suffer at the hands of God, and suffering from God would obviously be worse, because it's going to last for eternity. So if you're going to suffer, make sure it's not for those things.
It's kind of that same idea. If you go all the way back to when Peter was talking to servants, he says, it's considered a blessing whenever you are working for unrighteous masters that don't treat you right, and yet you're still being the servant that you should be. He says, but what good is it if you know, you're not a good servant and you're punished for it? Well, that just means you deserve it, you know, mm-hmm. and it's kind of the same idea here that, you know, if you're a murderer, you're a thief, you're an evildoer, you're a meddler, then you deserve to suffer mm-hmm. because you've been doing wrong. The meddler is meddling in things that don't concern the person, a busybody. There's another translation that just translates it as a mischief maker, which I think is interesting. But don't be someone who's stirring up trouble, because if you do, then you just deserve suffering, you know, and if that's not what it's about.
If you're suffering because you're doing those things, you're obviously not glorifying God through right. Christ. But instead,
you know, the worst of both worlds there.
That's right. He says, yet, if you suffer, and again, not that necessarily you're going to, but if you suffer, then make sure that you suffer as a Christian, which again is an interesting word. The only time it's only used three times in the New Testament, this idea of Christian. It's always in a negative context. That's what the world would call you, is a Christian, you know,
yeah.
not flowery as we might say it, but if you're suffering because you're following Jesus and the world recognizes that, and that's why, it's not because you're a murderer. It's not because you're a thief. It's not because you've done wrong. It's because you've done right. If you're suffering for that reason, you're demonstrating that you're living the life that God wants you to, then that's a good thing. Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 10 through 12, that you know, it's a glorious thing to suffer for the cause of Christ, and a lot of other people have as well. So we share in those sufferings with those who've gone before us, who've suffered because of the name of God, and we should never be ashamed of that. We should be ashamed if we suffer as a someone who's done evil, but not yeah. if we're doing good.
Yeah, we're proud of it. We're proud to wear the name Christian, and nothing's going to set us back from that. That's that fourth imperative of how do we bring honor to the Lord. Well, don't be ashamed if you suffer for being a Christian. Don't be ashamed that your Christianity is causing you temporary problems. Relish in the fact that you're still a Christian and you're going to be glorified. But instead, what he tells us to do at the end of this verse in verse 16 is to let him glorify God in that name.
That's the fifth imperative.
Yeah, that's the fifth imperative and one that's probably the most direct. But how do you glorify God? Well, glorify God with the name Christian. Don't be ashamed. Don't be evil. Don't be suffering for the wrong reasons. But if you want to glorify God, then be proud of the name Christian and wear it with honor and glorify God in that way. That's nothing's going to hold me back from representing my Savior correctly.
Yeah, the worst thing they can say about you is he follows Jesus.
Yeah.
That's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something that we ought to glorify God in the fact that and we are glorifying God in the fact that when, you know, if they're going to be honest, they're going to have a sense, all right, we're going to put him to death. But, you know, really?
Bring it on.
I wouldn't tell anybody this, but he's really a good guy. He's been a good neighbor. Mm-hmm. He's been a good member of the community. He's not caused any problems. He wouldn't do anything wrong. We're just destroying him because he's a follower of Jesus. That glorifies God because it shows people that following him is more important than our lives, that serving him he's more important than me, and that glorifies him because it puts him in his right place as head and king over our lives.
Which, by the way, is kind of the same thing that Pilate did with Jesus, is I don't really find any fault in him. You know, all he's done is kind of preach peace and love and mercy and all this kind of stuff, and it was the Pharisees and scribes that stirring up the people that inevitably put him on the cross. Pilate's the one kind of sitting there and saying, what is wrong with him? Mm-hmm. You know, other than you don't like him and he claims to be God. Mm-hmm. Well, follow that example. That's been a consistent theme, is following Jesus' example.
That's
so
right.
Follow his example and suffer. If you're going to suffer, suffer because you're following his name, and let it be at least a good reason for your suffering. We hope that this has been a good study for you, that it can inspire you to dive deeper into God's Word in your own time, whether you are waking up in the morning or settling down at night or anywhere in between. We hope that you can take 5 to 10 minutes a day and study with us on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.